welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about installing Zabbix and network monitoring with Zabbix. So last week on the last show, you were talking about some of the things that you wanted to do, and you took a couple of days off. So why didn't you tell everybody what you worked on?
So I wanted to try to get Zabbix installed, and I had other plans, but that's all I was able to accomplish.
Okay, so what is Zabbix before we...
So that's a good point. Zabbix is network monitoring, and it allows you to see into the network. It allows you, it gives you visibility into things that you would not normally be able to see. And I can tell you, having gotten it to work properly, that I can't understand why I didn't install this sooner. Because the information you get from this is just stuff that you don't even think about. The information I got is just awesome.
Well, one of the things that you did make a comment to me was like, wow, I just installed it and look, I'm already getting good information about, you know, what's going on. So you want to share what was like one of the first things that you got?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
First, we have to install it.
Okay. So let's back up. What did you do?
So the first thing I did, as I said in the last episode, I wanted to make sure that we had a good backup in place, right? So I made sure I backed up like the Etsy directory. I did a Clonezilla image, and I had some issues with like the database. And that goes back to some of the documentation that we didn't do and how to manage the database, passwords and stuff like that. So there were some issues there.
So this was on our Gigabyte server?
Correct. So I'm installing this on our Gigabyte server that's running Ubuntu 16.04 server. And so before I do anything, I want to make sure I have backups of things. So I did that. And then I went online to try to find instructions on how to install Zabbix. And they have some on the actual Zabbix website. And then I went to other places online to find more information about how to install it, just to get verification that this is the right process.
How were the instructions in the Zabbix website? Were they good?
They were pretty good. So I went ahead and just did some research on the server, because what I want to make sure of is that when I install Zabbix, I'm not damaging anything else on there. So Zabbix requires a web interface, or it has a web interface. So the requirements for Zabbix is a LAMP server, and that's an acronym for Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. So we have most of that already because we have ITOP, which requires a lot of the same things.
So what were some of the things that you were, some of the issues that you were checking for?
Well, whenever you install a web-based application mm-hmm. that requires PHP, it's going to require you to install extra things. Most of the time. So PHP is a programming language that's on the server and it's for websites. So it's typically you're going to be using it with like Apache and then whatever website you have. And the website's going to be programmed in PHP. And the way it works is the website, when I go with my browser to request the website, you know, I put in, you know, section9.us or whatever, the server, in this case Apache with PHP, is going to send me information. And what it's going to do is it's going to use the PHP code and everything to generate the website and then send it back to me. And then I get a website that has pretty whatevers on it, right?
Nice.
So in this case, when you install PHP, there's typically extra packages you have to include. ITOP had extra packages. In this case, Zabbix has extra packages you need to have installed. So the basic PHP package is not enough. And these are like extra features you can use when you program the site. So in the case of Zabbix, they wanted you to install like three or four different packages for PHP, extra ones. So I went ahead and checked to see what was installed on the system and found that I only needed one of them. I think this is a good sign because the less I have to install, the better.
I know that because you were kind of concerned about whether installing Zabbix was going to affect the network in an adverse way, right? That was one of your worries.
Well, I don't want it to affect anything we have already installed on our Gigabyte server.
Okay.
You know, like ITOP, DocuWiki. Are we going to lose those when I install Zabbix? So I install this package. I double check DocuWiki and ITOP. They both work fine.
Oh, nice.
So then I went ahead and installed Zabbix. And I thought, okay, there's a PHP configuration file. I hope I don't have to go edit that because that may damage iTop or DocuWiki or both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't ask for that. It didn't, and nowhere in the instructions did it say to edit that. There was a lot of stuff that was already part of the Zabbix configuration, and all I had to do was put in the host name of our Gigabyte server, and then you do a / Zabbix, and the site came up. And then, of course, you have to go through this installation process because you have to finish the web interface installation process. And then once you get that configured, then you can log in and start using it.
So when you logged in, what did it look like before you added all the devices and everything in it?
Well, when you do, Zabbix has two things. There's a back end and there's a front end.
Okay.
The front end is where the PHP and web server stuff is, because that's how you access the information and do all the configuration and management of Zabbix. So once you have these things installed, or I should say during the installation process, at some point it's going to ask you if you want to install an agent on the server. And that's there so you can monitor the Zabbix server within Zabbix.
Oh, okay. And say that again, because I'm not really clear what an agent is. Can you?
So an agent is a piece of software that you're going to install on a server or a host or a workstation, and that's going to collect information and send it back to the Zabbix server. So the Zabbix server is going to take that information and determine what to do with it. It's going to say, okay, CPU usage, RAM usage. It's going to see a drive space. It's going to see a bunch of stuff in there.
And you install both the agent and Zabbix on the same place.
Right, in the same place. Because what you want to do is you want your Zabbix server to monitor itself so you can see the performance of the server.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know how that worked, so I just...
Right. So everything is working fine, and then I say, okay, I want to install or set up extra hosts within Zabbix, things we want to monitor on the network, right? So I thought, okay, something simple might be our printer. So I go to the printer and see if there's any kind of SNMP configurations I can do in there. And while there is an SNMP option, I can't modify any of that. So we can't actually use SNMP, which is the simple network management protocol, to gather information from the printer. And this is the one I was telling you last episode that I used in my previous job to monitor things like printers, and it told you everything you wanted to know.
Everything that you said you had to turn some of the things off because it was sending you emails about somebody opening the lid or whatever.
Yeah. So our printer doesn't have that option, or you can't configure it. So then I said, okay, I want to monitor the core switch. The Cisco core switch, SW1 in our case.
Right.
So now I have to figure out how to set up SNMP on the Cisco switch. So I found some documentation on how to do that, and I got that configured. Now the question is, how do I get Zabbix to see that? So on Ubuntu, you have to install the SNMP packages. And there's an SNMP MIB downloader thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a couple other things in there.
Like a downloader package or something?
So there's basic SNMP stuff you have to have, software you have to have installed on the Ubuntu server in order for Zabbix to be able to do anything with SNMP. And that's part of the whole back-end process. And there may be some things I installed that we don't need. I'm going to have to go back and take a look at that. And there may be some stuff I can turn off or uninstall that Zabbix doesn't need in order for it to actually use some of that SNMP stuff to go out and monitor things.
So for every device that you install, you have to download the SNMP on each device for Zabbix to see it?
So there's two things.
Okay.
So Zabbix itself needs the right software in order to use SNMP.
Right.
If that's not installed on the server, it can't do anything with SNMP.
Okay.
So you have to install that. And then on the device you want to monitor, you have to have a special SNMP configuration for that. So you'll learn how to do these things because I'm going to show you how to do that for your data center switch.
Okay.
So that we can actually add that into Zabbix.
Does it matter? Do the versions of SNMP have to match?
Yes, they do. That's a good question. So when you set up SNMP, you're going to get an option of version 1, version 2, version 3. And it also depends on the software you have installed on the device. So in this case, our Cisco switch, it's a little goofy. It's goofy because the software is old.
Well, that's what I was worried about. I was worried that if you have an earlier version of SNMP, it's not going to be as secure as, you know, the SNMP 3, I think, was the most secure. So that was where my question was happening with, like, if does it have to match the same version or can it just do, like, legacy and retro?
Right. So we may end up being stuck with some of the legacy options because our Cisco switch doesn't have the latest software and we can't use some of the other features that are in there. Because there was an option in SNMP version 2 for authentication. Well, the commands that I was seeing in the instructions didn't show up on the switch. They're not there. So I'm not entirely sure what that means, if anything. There is an option to do SNMP version 3, but then the question is, well, if I configure it on the switch, how do I get that configured within Zabbix?
Right.
So there's some stuff in there that we're going to have to do some homework on.
Okay.
And this is where things kind of get a little tricky because now you have to figure out how to get your hosts into Zabbix in a way that works.
Right.
So I was able to get the switch in there using SNMP. And you have to wait a few minutes for the data to be imported into Zabbix or for it to show up because it's got to collect information. As soon as it collected information, a problem popped up.
So once that you install it, it kind of sits there. Does it do a baseline and then it collects information or no?
All it's doing is grabbing information.
Got it. That's
all it does is grab information. It's your job to do your baseline.
Okay.
So as soon as it gathered enough information to display that on the screen, I got an alert. So one of the things that Zabbix does, well, it does a lot of things. But one of the things it does is it has templates. And within those templates, it has triggers. And those triggers are set for specific CPU level, specific RAM level, specific temperature, specific bandwidth, maybe if it's monitoring a network interface. So in this case, a warning popped up in the problem section, and it said that the temperature on that switch was above 50 degrees. Now, this is a warning, and there's different levels. So there's higher levels than warning. So warning is just there to say, hey, this might be something you want to take a look at, and then you decide what you're going to do with that. And you can actually go in there and adjust those alerts so that they trigger at different temperatures or CPU level.
Well, it's kind of nice that it gives you a warning because then that way it gives you time to say, okay, do I need to do this? You know, what do I need to do about this? Instead of saying critical and then you have to go, oh, crap, what do I do? You know?
Exactly. And that's kind of how you use that.
Right.
So that's kind of nice. It also does graphs and it tells you bandwidth usage over time, CPU usage over time, that kind of stuff. So you can use it to get history, and that's where you get your baseline from. But in this case, it was instantaneous. You got a warning that the system's over 50 degrees. So temperature-wise, we may have to figure out something as it's summertime. We don't have a fan in the server rack. So that's something that we have time to think about that because it's warning level.
Right, but it needs to be addressed.
Exactly.
Sooner than later.
Exactly. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, this is awesome. Because the template brought in all the interfaces. It brought in all the ports on the switch. It brought in all the VLANs. So when I go and look at the graphs, I can look at VLAN 9, which is where my laptop is plugged in. Look at VLAN 51, where your data center is.
Right.
So I can see all the traffic that's coming across that VLAN interface. So it's giving us all kinds of information about that particular switch. And then I said, okay, I've got the Gigabyte server in here. I've got our core switch in here. And I'm not seeing anything other than the temperature sensor on the core switch that is, a big concern. Because when I look at the graphs for the Gigabyte server where we have Zabbix installed, there's nothing there. You know, the graphs are kind of boring.
Right.
It's just saying that some CPU is being used, some RAM is being used, but it's almost nothing. So there's nothing to worry about there. Then I decide to incorporate our Synology disk station.
Yeah, you mentioned you had some kind of issues with it. Well, what happened?
So with the Synology disk station, you don't have the ability to put an agent on there because you don't have full access to the operating system. So I go into the web interface and I'm poking around in there. I'm looking for an SNMP option. And I find it. And I punch in the correct information. And I wait. And then I go to the, I punch in the correct information. And then I go into Zabbix. And I'm looking for a Linux OS with SNMP. I'm looking for the template that has that. Because I know that the Synology Disk Station is a Linux box. And I'm going to be grabbing the information I want using SNMP.
Right.
So I do that. I set it up, put it in there, and I wait. And as soon as the data comes in, I get all these warnings. High CPU usage, high RAM usage. The graph for the CPU is 100%. And it's not just 100%, kind of, sort of. It's 100%, like, it's like if you stepped on the gas and you just slammed it to the floor.
Wow.
100%, 100%. So I'm thinking, okay.
Did you freak out?
So now I'm looking at this and I'm going, something here is goofy. So I'm already logged into the web interface. Mm. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I log in through SSH. And I look at top. Top is where you can see some CPU information and processes and all that. And I'm not really sure what's going on here. So then I try to see if they have HTOP installed.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you can get these little bars and it's kind of easier to see, you know, what your CPU usage is. That showed up 100%, no question. It just pegged it at 100% and it stuck there. Normally what will happen is you'll see it bounce around. There was no bouncing around. It was just 100% the whole time.
It was like full time, like somebody had their foot on the gas pedal and wasn't letting up.
Exactly. So
wow.
Now my question is this. What's going on here? Now, in HTOP, it also shows you the processes at the top that are sucking up the most CPU. So there was this thing in there called iTunes something, something, something. And I know that the disk station has other applications for media. You can have it store video. You can have it store audio. You can have it store things from iTunes. So I said, okay, let's go back into the web interface and see if we can find anything to do with services, right? Just like on your Raspberry Pi data center, you're trying to figure out how to work with services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, I'm looking for services. I want to see if I can turn these things off. So I'm poking around in there and I find the services menu, and I see there's this thing called iTunes. So I uncheck it and save the settings. I go back in to my SSH session and look at HTOP, and I'm waiting to see what happens. And all of a sudden, I see something happening with iTunes. It's trying to stop the service. And then instead of being 100% all the time, it drops down to like 85 to 100, 85 to 100. It's bouncing around. And then I look at the graph within Zabbix, and it's like CPU usage went off a cliff. It's now down to, 80-something percent or whatever it went down to. And I'm like, okay, this is good. This is something I can work with now. We now have a system that's functioning the way it's supposed to. So I go back into the services, and I go in there and I look at all these services we have, and I'm thinking, okay, what can I get rid of? And I just start unchecking them all, and I save it. And so I think the last time I looked at the chart, and we'll check it today, I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. It went down to like nothing. So we went from 100% CPU usage, and that thing just fell off a cliff and went down to like zero almost. So when you think about these kinds of things, and I'm going to relate this back to security, having visibility into the network for IT management, for system management, for network management, that's huge.
It's important, yeah.
We would have never known that the switch was above 50 degrees in terms of temperature. That's a little warm. We would have never known that our Synology Disk Station is 100% CPU usage. And I had seen that before, somewhere inside of the web interface. I had seen that. But I thought, no, that can't be right. And then when I went into iTop, and this was years ago that I looked at this, or I went into the command line interface for our disk station, and I ran top, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me because the numbers were kind of not necessarily 100%. They were close, but it wasn't exactly 100%. So I thought, okay, maybe the web interface is just goofy, and it's not really presenting me with the right information. when you see it in a graph in Zabbix, there's no mistaking what you're looking at. That's 100%. It's stuck there. It's not moving. You need to go do something about that.
So now what are you going to do to determine what kind of services do you want in this Synology?
We're only going to turn on the services that we're actually using.
Okay.
So there's things like file services that we need because it's a file server.
Correct.
And there are other services in there that I think I still have them running because they had something to do with backups. Now I have to decide if any of those are things that we're actually using or if we can just turn those off.
Okay.
So we have more work to do. But when you are asking me about baselines, and this is where the magic happens. Without this information, how would you know what's going on?
So now Zabbix is going to be saving this month by month?
Zabbix does it, I think it pulls every so many seconds.
Okay.
And it checks that. And so I'll show you the graph. The graph, you can go in there and adjust the dates. I don't know how long it stores that information in there. It may have a limit. But
I guess what I'm asking is, can you look at it 3 months from now and say, wow, the CPU usage was really high in March. And look, ever since we made these changes, it's just remained constant. And oh, look, in May it just went up like, ooh, super crazy. And then we need to look at that. I mean, is that something that is going to be able to happen? Or?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And that's how you get your baseline.
Okay.
Because you let it run for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen. But now, in this case, I didn't have to do that. Instantaneously, I see 100% CPU. I get all these warnings. Instantaneously, I know something's wrong. What do I have to do? I have to go in there and find out why I have 100% CPU usage. Take or turn off some of the services that we don't need. And what happens? It goes down to almost zero. So that's where you get into the Cisco network lifecycle, where you have prepare, plan, design, implement,
mm-hmm.
and then you have your operate and optimize phase. I operate for a bit, get my baseline with something like Zabbix or some other network monitoring tool where I can get a graph of CPU usage, and then I can say, hey, CPU usage is kind of high. Let me go back in there and optimize the performance of this system by removing certain services we may not need. And in this case, there were a lot of them. I said, oh, I don't need this. I don't need that. Get rid of this. And what happens? CPU usage goes down to almost zero.
It's going to be really interesting when we do our projects, when something goes wrong, if it would help us troubleshoot it by just looking at what it's doing.
So one thing that Zabbix has that I think is really interesting is that problem management thing, where it throws an alert and calls it a problem and then gives you the warning level.
Okay.
Like the CPU usage was, I think, high. There's also critical, something like that.
And then there was the warning.
Right, there's the warning for the temperature. So when you go in there, you can kind of use this as incident response. It's not incident response in the sense that you're doing security incident response, but you're doing network incident response. You're doing server incident response. My server is critical because the CPU usage is 100%. My server is critical because the RAM is all chewed up by services we don't need. So now I'm going to jump into action and figure out why this server is not functioning the way that I would like it to. And then in the case of the temperature, we're using that as a way to say there's a warning here. We need to think about this and plan ahead so it doesn't go critical.
So maybe during the summer times, being that our studio is facing east, we need to be more conscious of the temperature versus the wintertime, perhaps, so we can establish some kind of a plan to deal with however it goes.
Right. And we may need to add fans to that. We mm-hmm. may need to do something to cool that down so it doesn't get to a point where it's critical.
Right.
So now, how do we relate this to security? When you do your security, you need visibility into your systems, server, workstation, laptop, network equipment. If you're in a situation, and Zabbix can be part of that process, even though it's not really a security tool, if, for example, you have a baseline, and your baseline shows, hey, on the weekends, there's no traffic, Nobody's doing anything because nobody's there. All of a sudden, you see, over the weekend, lots of traffic. You ask around and you say, hey, was anybody here working on something? Wasn't me. I wasn't here. Nobody was doing things like a backup, moving files around. Nobody was working. Then the question is, well, what caused the network traffic? Was it an update that ran automatically? Or was it somebody on the network doing something they should not be doing?
Yeah.
It's an indication that something's wrong. And as we have here, an indication of high CPU usage, temperature sensors going off, we need to take action. You need an indication of what's going on in terms of security.
If at 8 o'clock at night every Thursday, your CPU usage is, you know, a lot, and or you have a lot of traffic, like you were saying, and nobody's in the office, and then you can just say, okay, who is this? How did they get in there? You know, maybe through one of the services that we're no longer using and is turned on, or, you know. So I think for security, if you cannot see your network, I don't really think that you can secure it either. You know, you have to know and you have to make sure that everything is working like it's supposed to. And for that, you have to have a baseline.
Yeah. And there are security tools that will give you more information. Again, Zabbix is not really designed for security. It's designed to monitor a host on the network, whether that's a switch, a server, a workstation, but it can give you indications that somebody may be doing something.
It's just another layer.
It's another layer. And again, when you get into those corporate environments or you start looking at different security tools, you'll see that there are tools out there to help you see what's going on in terms of security. Are people accessing things they shouldn't be? Are they trying to access things they shouldn't be? Are there applications that are trying to be installed when they shouldn't be?
Correct.
You know, are there, is malware trying to be installed? So things like antivirus, being able to see that kind of stuff, that's an indication that something may be wrong. So these are ways in which you can actually see what's going on, because in most cases, the hacker has been there for, like, you know, 2 years. Nobody knows what's going on because they can't see.
No, I understand that.
So again, you know, with having Zabbix on the network now, and seeing that we have our Synology disk station at 100% CPU usage, I'm surprised it didn't just fall over and die on us. That's pretty cool. And that's, you know, these are things, and we talked about doing, you know, a business. These are some things that we really need to take note of here, because when you go into somebody else's network and you want to do work for them, what's going on with the network? They may not be able to tell you. Now, Zabbix is not the only tool, but it's one tool that we could potentially use. Say, hey, we have Zabbix. We're going to set it up on your network. We're going to let it run for a week. We're going to see what's going on. We're going to get a baseline. And then you can start to say, hey, your server, it looks like it's a little bit overloaded. You might want to consider getting a new one. You might want to consider, you know, adding more RAM, getting a new processor, adding more hard drive. These are things that Zabbix can help you identify.
I guess, you know, for me, it sounds more like a keeping the network healthy tool.
It is. It is. And again, how would you know these things if you didn't have a tool like this?
Right.
And there's a lot of places out there that don't know these kinds of tools exist, or they just don't have the time to install it. They think it's not worth it. It's an extra expense. And they don't understand how these things work. So that's why I really think that your little Raspberry Pi project is going to be huge, because it's our way of identifying the necessary tools we want to have to figure out how to do security and how to manage a network. Because as you add these things in, we're going to add the necessary tool to monitor that. We can put them into Zabbix.
Right.
We can monitor CPU and RAM usage and network usage. And we can see, hey, look, this is what it looks like when there's no service. This is what it looks like when you have DHCP and DNS installed. Look at how the system responds to CPU usage and RAM usage.
No, sounds like you really put your 2 days off to good use. I mean, do you feel better about having Zabbix now? Or
it's going to give us a way to see things we haven't been able to see before. Hmm. And that's huge. And even in my previous job.
You installed it on your previous job because they didn't have anything in there.
They didn't have anything. So when something would go offline, and that was a the network wasn't very big. The problem with that environment is that the network was spread out all over the place. We had like five. When I left, we had six different offices. And so there was one location that was remote in the village, out in the middle of nowhere. And they would call us and they would say, hey, we're down. And we would be like, well, what do you mean you're down? We don't have any internet. And there was no way for me to see where the internet was broken. Is it really the internet or is it something else inside the network that we need to take a look at? Could be the server, could be the firewall, could be that not all the internet is broken. It may be one building has lost internet because we had it set up to where we had multiple buildings with internet and we had to monitor each one. So once I got Zabbix installed, we knew when they were down before they did and we could call them and say, hey, I noticed this particular system's down. Do you still have internet? They would say, no, okay, we're working on that. So rather than waiting for them to call us and say, hey, we're down, we just call them.
Yeah. No, that was nice. That was a big difference. I know that you showed that to me and I thought it was pretty cool.
So yeah, there's just having the tools that allow you to see things is huge, especially seeing things over time and having something that automatically monitors that. Like same thing with antivirus. The antivirus software is the only way for you to know if there's a virus on that system, unless you're always checking and you're an expert at identifying, malware on a system, which I am not. I need these kind of tools to say, hey, this particular system is affected with this particular virus. We've quarantined. Here you go. Now, they're not perfect.
No, they don't get everything, but they get a lot. So, it's better than not having it.
Yeah. So in summary here, always try to figure out how you can go in there and see things on the network, whether that's your antivirus software. Now, in the enterprise environment, I should point this out, you want something that is centrally managed. So you can go to one location and see all of that. And you have a way of setting up alerts so that you're not having to sit there 24/7 and watch things. It just sends you an alert and says, hey, this particular workstation on the network could potentially have a virus.
Right.
Same thing with Zabbix. You want some way of monitoring the performance of the network, of your servers, maybe of certain workstations, and have it collect all that information. So you can go there and maybe what we do is we check it every Friday or we check it every time we come into the network. And we say, okay, how are our systems doing? What do they look like over time? How is it performing over the last week? How is it performing over the weekend while we were using it?
Does it have any alerts by default, or do you have to actually configure the alerts?
So the templates have alerts in there by default. They call them triggers.
Got it.
So in the case of the Cisco switch, the trigger is already in there.
Right, but I'm just saying to have it send you an email.
The email part you have to configure. And okay. You have to have an SMTP server that it's going to talk to. You have to put in your email addresses in there. And there may be a way to set up something within Zabbix to where it just automatically sends the emails out. It doesn't necessarily, I think there is some way of having some sort of built-in mechanism for sending out emails. I'm not entirely sure how that works. Normally when I do those kinds of things, I'll actually set up an SMTP server inside the network specifically for that so it can send out alerts through that SMTP server.
Sounds
and I just
really
put my
good.
Email address in there and it sends it to me.
Cool.
So, thoughts?
No, I thought it was pretty cool.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, you?
No, I think this is good. We just have to go in there and take a look at what's going on so you can get a chance to see that. And it's something that you're going to be practicing with as you add in your host to see how that works and how you get your baseline, which is why I didn't want to talk about that last episode.
Right. No.
So I think that's this is a pretty good place to stop. We have lots going on. We still have to do the packet capture box. There's just so much stuff we're trying to do because I also have to get our Splunk instance working.
Right. And you got to do a lot of research on that.
Yeah, that just did not work the way I was expecting it to. So there's a lot we have to do. But far, we're moving in the right direction.
No, we are.
So if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.